hot water heaters. Solar, continuous flow and storage hot water. Ream is Australia's favourite. Install a Ream.
Welcome to the Sunday Rub. Triple M rocks football.
Let's get down to Darren Crocker, the coach for the North Melbourne Football Club, is joining us now. Darren, appreciate your time. Not sure whether you're aware, the first time in history the two coaches are in for the one round with the other two out injured.
Is that right?
Staggering stuff,
yes.
Isn't it?
Very staggering, BT.
How have you... did you get here today, yesterday? What's been the lead-up to this game, Croc?
Yeah, we came down early yesterday. In the past, we haven't trained here, but we came down early and had a training session here with the long weekend. A few North Melbourne people who support us down here came out. And then it's just been into the players' preparation for today.
Hey, Croc, we spoke to Brad a couple of weeks ago on Talking Footy, and we spoke about the setup that you have defensively, and he said he was quite happy with the way the club has been setting up. But the last 2 weeks, Fremantle certainly in the first quarter and then Collingwood in the third quarter last week, what have you done this week to make sure those type of run-ons don't occur?
Yeah, look, we've looked at a couple of things, Duck. We feel that perhaps we've been getting a little bit too high at times with our defensive shape. So just trying to get that organisation behind the footy that, teams can't get the ball out the back on us. And also, I know it sounds a bit trivial, but some of just the little positioning things from individuals have really cost us. So that's been identified, it's been reviewed, it's been worked on, and it's a work in progress, but we're hoping that we can address that today.
As is always the way, when you lose games, people have opinions. We all do. I've spoken about the Kangaroos already this year. David King wrote an article today to suggest that the leadership of the Kangaroos and guys like Swallow are a little bit introverted. They're not guys that are outwardly expressive in how they demand and what they demand from their teammates. Do you think he's right?
No, I don't think he's right. We didn't have Andrew Swallow there last week, so we actually really missed his leadership, whether he would have made a difference in that third quarter. Obviously his ability around the contest could have made a difference, but I think what this does with Brad recovering from his operation for the next month gives everyone an opportunity to really step up. So we'll find a little bit more about our leadership, I reckon, over this month, and hopefully that the scribes and the people who have got opinions in the media like yourself, Duck, can hopefully doing a bit of an about face.
Hey, Croc, Brad's obviously not here. He's been given the tick of approval by the AFL that he can contact one of the coaches with regards to exchanging information. Is that you or is that somebody else in the box today?
No, that's someone else. So basically, I spoke to Brad this morning. He's just got home from hospital this morning and recovering, but he'll be watching the game with interest. And if he does want to contact anyone, he's got the number of one of the guys in the box. He'll discreetly just take the text message and speak to him at half time and then filter that information through. But the one thing he actually did say this morning was that, definitely doesn't want us as assistants and myself, sitting in the chair to be second-guessing ourselves or what he'd be doing or what he'd be thinking. He really wants us to feel comfortable to take charge.
Was that a little clip for your old captain before?
I think it might have been, Croc. You give the Duck a little bit of a whack there.
I heard BT's intro and a couple of blokes, he thought about the North Melbourne coaches box, and I thought there'd probably be a couple of blokes up there that thought they should be sitting in there.
Hey, Croc, obviously
you're quite right, Croc.
Hey, Croc, very, very blustering conditions. Does that change in any way your plan for today?
Oh, look, we really want to be proactive, Duck, and get on the front foot and get after the Eagles. It won't initially, but obviously if we feel like the conditions are having an impact on the game, we might have to make some adjustments. Obviously it's blowing pretty strong down to the bottom end here and you don't want to get caught too high with the opposition kicking that way. So, we might make some slight adjustments just making them aware, but you don't have to be Einstein if you stand out in the middle of the ground and serve. Make sure the ball doesn't get kicked over your head.
Sorry about that little technical difficulty we just had there a moment ago with Darren Crocker, but he sends his regards and he's looking forward to forward to a big day, he said.
Cut me right off with my best question.
Yeah, there's a lesson there. Never leave your best to last. Come forward with it early on. Jay-Z, you've been all over the news that's been happening, but before we get stuck literally into the nitty-gritty of what you want to talk about, Hall of Fame has been a discussion point this week, obviously with that sensational function that the AFL has once a year, and inducting the legend, of course, and the Hall of Fame recipients. Jason Ackermanis was an interesting one. Let's first of all have a listen to what he said in part of his speech on that night.
Now that's a proper highlights reel.
Well, we could keep going if you want. We could go to YouTube or something, but no, it was great. I was really lucky. I had a great lot of mentors along the way. I had some good genetics.
We were thinking back over all the great goals that have been kicked at the Gabba, and if you put up a top 10, I reckon you've got half of them. When you...
Maybe eight. Mate, I sold more hot dogs, more Cokes, more than anyone in the history of the Gabba. She mightn't have seen the best years of my life, but I know one thing, that she'd be immensely proud that I actually went along with my genetic advantage and did something with my life.
Jason, if you were ever lucky enough to mentor somebody, say, like Jason Ackermanis, how as a coach would you handle him?
Man, I would love 21 of Jason Ackermanis right now. So to coach someone like me would be an absolute pleasure. And there's nothing wrong with Lee admitting that it wasn't that bad after all.
Jason Ackermanis there, Fox Footy, good enough to give us some of that audio there. Got to get that in dark, of course. Jason Ackermanis, now, look, I'm not sure whether he was just trying to be funny and entertaining on that particular night, or whether he was given a real opportunity to show that he was a modest champion and legend of the game. And I'm not sure that he just handled it well.
It's one room and one night that any ego, if you've got one, gets left at the door, because it is the most humbling night and the most humbling experience that you'll ever get. And Tony Lockett, I thought, by the way, congratulations, he's absolute superstar. He was blown away by the night. Now, we know Plugger doesn't go to a lot of things, and for him to say that in that room, I think that's the whole crowd just warmed to him. He was humbled. He was almost embarrassed to be put as a legend, and then you've got Acker, who
you saw it as an opportunity for him.
I thought it was
mend some bridges with the public.
I thought it was a great opportunity for him to be humble, and I guess talk about what others and his teammates and everything else that are a big part of why you end up and being inducted into those types of things, and his coaches and everything else, but. I honestly thought it fell very flat for me, and I've asked a couple of
others. What was the mood of the room?
Well, the mood of the room was I wasn't there, BT, so I can't I can't answer that. I obviously just watched it on TV, and I was a little bit shocked by it.
He says he's desperate to get into AFL coaching, you know, at Clubland. He's been senior coaching some.
Said that he's better prepared than Voss, Buckley, Heard amongst a few. He said that. He said he was better prepared than those guys.
Do you guys anticipate that he'll be at an AFL club next year?
No.
No.
No, and not even in an assistant role, because he's got to get a hold of his ego first.
Yeah.
This is all about, you know, when you get into the coaching stakes, it's all about everyone else except yourself. And if he can't get, and he proved on this night that I don't think he can get that under control. Mm. If he can't get that under control, he's no chance to go into a team environment.
Mm. Yeah, it could have been a missed opportunity to not use it as an audition, but clean slate.
Yep.
Clean slate. Been away, great honour, very privileged, very thankful.
Want coaching to thank in the country has done this to me,
yeah.
Taught me this
Let
lesson,
people
taught
walk
me that
away
lesson.
With the thought in their mind going, he has changed. Maybe it is worth having another conversation.
He compared himself to Alistair Clarkson.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't hear that bit.
Yeah. Well, wow. when he was speaking of the other coaches that he thought that he was better credentialed than, he then said that he's done an apprenticeship like Alistair Clarkson, and he went away, coached his own team, and his own environment, and so that was mentioned in there too, BT.
He did spend a week at Carlton with Mick Malthouse early in the year, and I think was very thankful for that opportunity, but I think we'll all be surprised whether we see him coaching an AFL club next year.
What else you got for us there, Jay-Z?
plenty of contract talk going on at the moment, BT, because Brisbane, in particular, are after a big man, a big goal kicker. Lockie Henderson at Carlton, Jakey Carlisle out of contract, doesn't know what he's going to do at Essendon, and Charlie Dixon, his future is up in the air at Gold Coast. But I think we can cross Tommy Hawkins off this available list, because it's my understanding that he will sign a long-term commitment at Geelong for possibly 4 or 5 years, the final details just being worked out at the moment. But I think there's absolutely no chance that Brisbane are going to lure the big fish, that is Tommy Hawkins, and he'd be an absolute dream get, there's no doubt about that. But one of his teammates at Geelong, Jake Collajasny, who's a fullback, he's one of the twins, Cade's up there at the Gold Coast, so he's a fullback who can't get a game at the Cattery at the moment, and I think the Lions might be sniffing around him. He's sort of a big-bodied fullback. They've got Rivers, they've got Harry Taylor and Lonergan, and they might get Lockie Henderson. We know the Cats are into Lockie Henderson, so Collajasny, starved of opportunity, he might be a man that heads north instead. And we heard from Paul Connors about Dangerfield at the end of the year. And this is where it does get even more interesting, because we do understand that the Cats are interested in both Dangerfield and Lockie Henderson. So that's, what, a $1.5 million play for the two players. And if they go to the Cattery Duck, does that totally recharge the Cats' premiership hopes with Henderson and Dangerfield?
Oh, absolutely. If they got those two, I think they'd be straight back in the so-called window, if that's what you want to call it.
Quickly? Just bang?
Without doubt. I think where the Cats, and we know that they've got a couple of injuries as well, but you know, with Selwood, you sort of almost feel if Selwood doesn't have a big game in there at the moment, and I know they've a couple of these other players are coming through and they've had
Caddy
good,
and
Duncan,
yep,
is injured at the moment and all that sort of stuff. But I think that one more class player in there, and then like you said, with maybe Enright finishing at the end of the year, certainly not Rivers, but you've mentioned Mackie, you have that support, and he's that swing player too. That can play at either end, so that'd be massive.
And also the free kick, the change of the high contact free, yep, kick rule was very interesting, because it's not often the AFL changes rule mid-season. We've seen a bit of inconsistency with that so far. There was a contentious Michael Walters one on Friday night, so that'll be something to keep an eye to today. Can you believe that the past 5 years?
How did it go last night?
I thought it's been good. And the Perth game on Friday night.
There was a couple last night. The umpires got them right when the players led with their head.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the pocket. There was one.
Yep. And they were Stanton. No call. So sometimes you're not going to see these because there's no whistle. Yep. They just say play on. And they were the right call.
But can you believe West Coast are the umpires' darlings, boys, more than
you
can ever believe. Well, they've received 349 kicks to the positive over the past 5 years. So if you table all the who's won the most free kicks in the competition over the past 5 years, the Eagles are 349.
So they're plus 349 over...
ahead.
Over half a decade.
Yeah, can you believe that? And that's...
And Jay-Z, that's, you're and not
that's,
serious.
No, that is serious. That's at Subiaco Oval, where they've only lost 4 of the past 46 free kick counts to the
Jay-Z,
Eagles.
Jay-Z, so spread over 5 years. Come on, mate, that's not a story.
Plus 349. No one's even close to that. And their away record, so away from home, they're plus 63. So it actually doesn't matter at what ground they play at the Eagles. The Shuey was previously Selwood. They are the masters of this high contact stuff. So I want you boys to be all over the West Coast Eagles free kicks today.
Do the math.
70 a season by 22 games, Brian.
Yeah, how many is that a game?
That? 3 a game.
Yeah.
Big.
Boy, big. hey, I've got a little news grab for you. I went to Etihad Stadium last night to watch Geelong Essendon, right? Pre-game, guess what? Guess what they had?
What?
They had the VFL. Guess what was happening in the crowd?
They were loving it.
It was jumping. It was energetic. Take your flags, take your candlesticks and your crackers and stick them you know where. Get the VFL back on, because I tell you what, the place was a buzz. And you know what happened? Because they had to play the game so far in advance of the main game, and they had about 30 minutes between the end of the VFL and the warm-up on ground, it all of a sudden said to me, when the ground went quiet because the VFL had finished the game, that this is what we'd been putting up with for all of these years, was this silence and a stadium of nothing. Play the VFL game, number one. Number two, play the VFL game right up to within 5 minutes of the start of the warm-up for the big boys. Bring it back. It's great. The crowd loved it. I think now, you know, they used to say, oh, it's too much traffic on the ground and all that sort of
the grass.
What a load of nonsense. These grounds are prepared for professionally these days. They have great drainage. They have great curators. And they now understand how to grow grass properly, Jay-Z. We've moved on from too much traffic on the ground. What a load of nonsense that a ground like Etihad Stadium can only cope with 44 footprints on it per week. Give us a break.
Well, they do nothing on it throughout the rest of the week.
That's right.
It is amazing. So I think we're with you there, BT. And I think clubs are trying, lobbying the AFL to get more VFL footy on as curtain readers. Because as you said, it's an absolute
no-brainer.
You're
too young, but people used to go...
At KP.
People used to go to these grounds and say, there's the star of the future. Watch, he's played 3 good VFL games in a row. He's going to be in next week, this kid. And they follow him. They build a connection. Now a young kid like Luxford comes in last night. Geelong supporters sitting around the fence going, who the hell is this cracker? Yet if they'd watched him in the VFL, they'd say, this young kid's heading for a game. You know?
I remember being a young bloke, you would go down to Caninia Park and before Gary Ablett Sr. was going to kick a bag of 10 goals, you would absolutely watch the second half of the twos. It was just staple footy stuff.
And it's the best entertainment that you don't have to pay for.
Spot on.
So, well, there you go. Jay-Z, you got one to leave us or not?
We got something I don't know. We'll leave it to the something I don't know.
All right.
You know, one of our best segments of the show, so we'll look forward to that.
That'd be called Tell Me Something I Don't Know, Jay-Z. So we look forward to that. Duck's got an absolute pearl. A Swatter's got a ripper as well. I've got not a baddie either. Boy, oh boy. The big freeze tomorrow at the MCG for MND. Don't forget to get involved in that. If you want to know a little bit more about it, simply go to mnd.com.au and you can pick up all the details on how you can contribute absolute cash to that project, which Neil Danaher has so courageously put out there. Time now for the Duck Shoot.
This is Wayne Carey's Duck Shoot.
Yes, this is where we fire questions at the duck and he fires answers back at us. Jason Ackermanis. He thinks he's a Top Gun coach in waiting. Your thoughts, Duck?
Oh, well, I wouldn't have a clue, BT. I can't have an opinion on that because I haven't been... He's been coaching North Albury. Well, how do I know how he coaches?
Well, how do you reckon coaches in North Albury have been going in the past at big jobs in the AFL?
Well, I don't think there's too many coaches that have been pulled out of North Albury. I think Grant Thomas got pulled out of... his last coaching job was in Warrnambool and got an AFL job.
So
It's been done before, but Acker hasn't won a premiership yet.
No.
Duck, Jimmy Hurd got one more year left on his current contract at Essendon. Where is his coaching career at?
Well, his coaching career is at halfway through his first year back, and I would think that they will let that run completely out before they reevaluate. I don't think Essendon will be signing or extending any contracts until the end of.
Is he at any risk at all?
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh well. I wouldn't know that.
Like that on the plane on the way down.
Not at all.
Like
ask me about this.
Like any coach, if they continue to get smashed like they have,
what will happen?
Albeit, then he would be under pressure like any coach. If you lose and you lose by big margins, of course you're under pressure. That's a reality of coaching.
So the headline out of that, Wayne Carey says James Hurd's under pressure.
He's not at all, not at all. And what you've got to remember is this whole group, not just James Hurd, is under pressure. Emotional pressure, BT.
Chris Judd may be regretting going on one more year, Duck, off the back of the serious knee injury.
Oh, I don't think that he'll look back at that, but he may do when he's hobbling around, chasing his little ones around Swatter, and won't be able to do that for a number of weeks. But
Duck, Tassie's a favourite spot of yours. Last week you were down here in Tassie, and last week we were calling footy on a Sunday in Melbourne, and you failed to get back. You rang in with a knee injury, saying you'd blown your knee to pieces and you're unable to talk on the radio. Now, we've just been saving this aside and putting it to one side. Just to see, number one, how your knee is, and whether it was just a little fakey. Like, coach, I can't make it to training tonight because I can't.
Well, just so you know, I had an operation during the week last week on the Tuesday night.
Yeah,
I had to fly to Sydney on the Friday night for Friday night footy.
Yeah.
And it blew up on that plane. I then had to come back and then get on another plane down here to Tasmania. It blew up the size of a balloon,
right.
BT. Yeah. It was massive. And I was in a lot of pain. It was throbbing. doing everything. So I made the calls very early in the morning to let people know. And I was given a sick leave day.
Never ever known anyone that talks for a living to talk through their knee.
No. But you did get it drained a couple of days later. I got it drained the day after.
I got 4 litres out of it.
Does the Dockers loss mean anything, Duck?
Because?
The Dockers loss, does it mean anything in the big picture?
No.
Hall of Fame, Michael Mouldhouse is eligible next year as a coach. Is he an automatic induction of the Hall of Fame?
Automatic. Goes straight in. In actual fact, I don't think it would be... I don't think too many people would be surprised if he went straight in as a legend. I mean, you could.
Matthew Scarlett straight in next year?
Matthew Scarlett will be a Hall of Famer.
And Cameron Lee?
Wayne Swass?
I don't know. I've
Gary Lyon?
Gary Lyon and Wayne Swass, and I'm not saying this because he's sitting here, but they should certainly be in the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. And so should Cameron Ling, Premiership captain. Very distinguished career.
If you were measuring the Hall of Famers against someone that's already in the Hall of Fame, if you know, went to the bottom of the Hall of Fame list, which you don't like to do, Duck, who would be the comparison that you would make to get these new guys in?
There's not a player in the Hall of Fame that doesn't deserve to be there. There's not one that doesn't deserve to be there. But there's Wayne Swass and Gary Lyon are better than some of the players in there.
Oh, okay.
A Shardy the night before.
A Henschke.
Yes, Red. That too. Yeah.
Was it a Henschke?
Well, it could have been.
That's a nice drop.
Where do you sit with this? Charlie Dixon and Jack Martin last week forgot to pay their room, their little minibar bill. Yep. It got back to the club, so they've been dropped this weekend. Where do you sit with regards to that? Well, they weren't getting plastered.
No, that's the mistake they made, not playing their bill. I just can't believe that the club made it public. I mean, it was a couple of glasses. Dixon said that he actually does that every week because it helps him just relax. There'd be plenty of players around the competition. Schwatter, these rules, and I understand that they had a complete alcohol ban on the players. I think that's what that does is it sends a message to the players that we don't trust you. And I think these young men have to make their decisions. I think 99.9% of the time they do the right thing. And on that occasion, you know, in your own hotel room to BT, I think it was a total overreaction. And not only was it an overreaction, but now those players don't play this week, Schwatter, and it costs the team. That's a big penalty for something that I don't think was all that bad.
Yep, and it penalises the team. You're quite right. What's Farmer Wayne been up to this week? Last week we heard about the container that your wife brought you, and you said, no, take it back. I've got a big shed, got all that covered. You brought a Kubota tractor and excavator the week before. What have you added this week?
I've actually loaded the shed up with a lot of the DeWalt range BT because I've got to do a lot of work. I've got to do a lot of work up there.
Anyone told you you've brought the wrong piece of land?
Hey?
You brought the wrong piece of land.
The wrong piece of land.
I've got 100 acres for sale. You should have come up. It's got a river flowing through it. Nice green,
really?
Rolling, undulating hills with spectacular views.
How much?
Oh, well, given the fact that you could be a potential client, I'd be happy to let it go at a mill. All right.
Hey, Duck, Ricky Nixon wrote a column this week, said that if North Melbourne was going to merge, that you were out of the club and you were bound for Geelong. Did you ever consider, or was it raised, did you discuss with your manager at the time, Ricky Nixon, a move to the Cattery?
No, I can't remember that. But Ricky may have had conversations with the Cats.
But you're the player.
I never had any conversations.
No, but you're right, Duck. Your manager would often have conversations that you don't
exactly
know about.
Exactly right. So Ricky may have had those conversations. There was talk, obviously, we were going to merge with Fitzroy. That got hit on the head right on the death knock. And obviously, as we know now, Fitzroy and the Brisbane Bears merged to become the Brisbane Lions. And and that's it. But if that had have happened, then I would have been out of contract, so I would have been able to renegotiate a new deal.
Out, Gary Ablett Senior, in Wayne Carey.
We're looking forward to a top quality game here. Means a lot to both of these sides today. Swatter, West Coast looking for 7 in a row. Probably means more to North because they're sitting on just the 4 wins as we speak.
Yeah, and a game last week, Duck called it with us, Brian, but he wasn't there. The Kangaroos in a winning position against the Magpies, conceded 10 consecutive goals, and they've done that a couple of times this year. Darren Crocker alluded to it also, Duck, before, that they're going to learn a lot about those leaders today. There's an article, David King, teammate of ours, suggesting that perhaps it's time for Jack Zeeble in regards to replacing Andrew Swallow. We need to find out which of the Kangaroos players outside of Jack Zeeble are prepared to stand up, make a statement, do something for their team when things go against them. Because the problem that I saw last week and what I've seen in some of those losses where they have lost games that they were certainly in control of, they go into their shell. No one's prepared to really step up and assume that responsibility.
They have to demand more of one another out on the ground, don't they? You don't see them outwardly showing that emotion and demanding of one another to do certain things in times when they need to.
Yep.
And as we said, we spoke to Croc, and it's about arresting the situation when teams get run-ons like they did last week and also the week before against Fremantle. So 2 weeks in a row it's happened now.
I'm going to mention some teams to you, and I want you to tell me what I'm talking about. GWS, Adelaide, Richmond, Hawthorn, Collingwood, West Coast, Sydney, Fremantle.
Fighting for the same
what am I talking about?
That's the top eight, Brian.
That's the top eight. Not necessarily in order. It goes in this order. Fremantle, Sydney, West Coast, Collingwood, top four. Bottom four of the top eight is Adelaide, Richmond, GWS, Hawthorn. Is that the way it stays? So are we saying that Port Adelaide, Geelong, Western Bulldogs, Essendon and North are not going to make it? Are we that far advanced in our knowledge of who's who yet? Are we expecting Port Adelaide, who all of a sudden have won two in a row, looking for three in a row, are they going to get back inside?
Port Adelaide make it. For me, I think that if West Coast beat the Kangaroos today, they certainly make it if West Coast win today. I've probably changed my mind a little bit on the Tigers. I didn't have Richmond in my eight at the start of the year, but I think the Tigers are playing good enough footy to play finals footy right now. So, you know, unfortunately, you're right, though. There's a massive group of teams that are fighting, and Geelong's in that same mix. And big game for the Cats next week, because that's against Port Adelaide. So, you know, it's a wonderful season, because I think it is wide open in BT, and I think the only certainties in that top eight, the only certainties are Fremantle, Hawthorn and Sydney. They're the certainties for the top three.
West Coast are currently third. We're going to witness them today. So a lot, I know, depends on today.
They're not a top four side.
Well, are they? What's seven their run their, home?
Seven of their last 12 games seven. Are at home. Right. So you'd think, I mean, one of those games is against Fremantle. But of the other six games, you'd think that you'd be pretty confident that you'll bank those.
By the way, I think I've tipped West Coast this year twice.
Right.
And so they've won seven
they
games.
Could I mean, be looking at 14 wins as the minimum, West Coast, or thereabout. 14 wins last year got you fifth position.
Yep. And amazing to think they've done that without McKenzie and Brown. And Darling's about to come back. So it's been a phenomenal effort. What about Collingwood? I mean, they play tomorrow. They're 6-3. They'll go to 7-3, you would think, with a win over Melbourne. So that really sets
everyone.
Them up.
They've beaten the sides that they should beat. You know, I didn't have Collingwood in my eight. I still think that if they were to slip into the eight, it would be right at the bottom of it.
Well, Duck, you're right. They have beaten Brisbane. Yeah, you'd expect that. They've beaten St Kilda. Yes, you'd expect that. Essendon, probably. Carlton, yes, you'd expect. Gold Coast, yes. And North Melbourne was probably the one that could have gone either way, but they beat them as well.
Yep.
The Pies get back, however. Ben Reid, who's had two good weeks in the VFL. He was dominant yesterday. Matthew Schoenberg, a top pick as well.
He's had a long time out of the game at the elite level.
I think he still bolsters that back half. He was excellent yesterday.
But you can't trust he's going to be in the game for any length of time.
Well,
so
can't you?
I just reckon you say with Ben Reid, when he's available and when he plays, that's great.
It's a bonus.
But we're not going to build anything around him. I think they've gone past that.
Well, can they win a final? You know, can they take on the big forwards in a final without him? I mean, can Frost get
Brown,
the job done?
Nathan Brown will take the biggest, deepest forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking for someone across that half-back line, the high forward.
Frost takes the most athletic. They've tried Frost on the bigger forwards, and he's not quite as good. But with his athleticism, you know, Frost could play on a Buddy Franklin.
Mm-hmm. Kangaroos prelim final last year, Duck, BT, Jay-Z, a terrific result, although the result in the prelim final wasn't particularly good. Was last year a season out of the box, or have the Kangaroos either dropped off, or have they just naturally started to correct themselves?
Harder draw, obviously, makes a big difference, but may have been a little bit premature, the preliminary final swatter, because... Mm. I mean, and that's just off the evidence that we've seen this year. It's sort of the way they play, it's not finals type footy. It's open, it's attacking.
For me, they were above themselves last year, Swatter.
I agree.
And this year, the teams they play twice, the good teams are Richmond, Fremantle, and Geelong. They're the teams they play, three of the five teams they play twice.
And go back to West Coast, who are the teams that they play twice? Because this is the ladder being split into three groups of six.
Well,
this heavily favours West Coast.
What about this? For West Coast, the teams that they all play twice are Gold Coast, the Western Bulldogs, St Kilda, Adelaide, and, of course, Fremantle. But keeping in mind those games played on the home ground.
The Western Bulldogs beat them. So
Yeah, they did.
The thing for North Melbourne for me is that they've lost three games this year by more than 10 goals. Now, I don't think a serious challenger suffers those sorts of losses, but they have been without Wells and Del Sando, so it has taken that silk. Remember, they topped up with Jared Waite and Sean Higgins in the end of last season. That says to me, hey, we're ready to win a premiership. But we've seen this season that that's not the case. You can't count them in that mix. And today is a very important step for them because the Eagles, you look at their numbers, they are red hot.
They are indeed. So it's an intriguing eight. People often say at this stage of the year that the eight doesn't change much.
I think
I agree with you. I think Port are going to come back in.
For the first time, I think, and I agree, BT, it doesn't change much. But for the
GWS
for the first
won't make
year,
it, will they?
Oh, well, right now around the grounds, GWS 48, Brisbane Lions 30.
Okay,
and Cameron lining up for a goal.
Collingwood North, Richmond over the next three games, GWS. So be interesting to see the way they go there. We're going to take a break on 3W football for Coates Hire. Sorry? For Coates Hire, 3W is, Triple M is football. Let's now get into our favourite segment, Tell Me Something I Don't Know, Jay-Z Duck. And Swatter, what have you got? Who's going first, boys?
I'll go first. I'll open the batting. Hey, Stephen Motlop had a great year in 2013, had a knee injury last year, and probably went off the boil a bit. And last night, he probably had his best game for the year, kicked four goals. I don't think he'll be in the blue and white hoops next year,
no,
fellas.
No, Stephen Motlop
at
Geelong.
He will be gone. Wait. I think there are some clubs doing a lot of work on him at the moment.
Who?
I think possibly Richmond, Essendon be having a look. I think West Coast. And I think that for the Cats to get Henderson and Dangerfield, which we think could happen, that Motlop could be in his way out to make some salary cap room for those two guys. And as a Geelong man, I'm thinking that's not a bad move.
So he may not be there because it's not his decision? You've just mentioned salary cap room.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think that he could possibly want to be the main man at another club. And I think Geelong, given that he's had a bit of off-field stuff, you know, he had the drinking thing before the Hawthorn game, the Easter Monday country footy drink. Oh, I think he could benefit possibly from being at another club.
So who are those clubs again that are in?
I think Richmond, Essendon, West Coast. I think they'd be the clubs that would be having a big hub. I mean, what do you pay a Stephen Motlop at the moment? What's he worth?
Well, Collingwood would be in a position as well. You know, you look at Collingwood and when they're looking to sort of get all their eggs in one basket to line up for a premiership. And I would say they're expecting probably to make the bottom end of the eight this year. The next year, they probably hope in 2016 they can contend top four. And I reckon in about 2017, they think they can probably win it. Now, if that's right, all sides would be planning their side around their peak period, the year in which they can win the premiership. Let's assume Collingwood's is around about that 2017. They are going to make sure that they have some room come the lead up to 2017, either at the end of 2016 or at the end of 2015, to be able to top up with a player like that, knowing that they think their peak period might be about this date.
500, you pay Steve Motlop 500. Is he worth that?
Yeah. Probably. Yep. I mean, if you're going to pay Ace 750,
you're worth sure. whatever someone's prepared
that's
to pay.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the market. So don't blame the players. I mean, someone like Ace who's getting these outrageous offers for a guy that hasn't played much footy and we don't know much about, comes from great genetics.
Yep.
That's for sure. It is what the market is going to pay on that particular day. And those GWS players and that, when GWS and Gold Coast were formed, they were lucky because new clubs were being formed at the time and they needed players to spend the salary cap on.
It was Tom Scully, $1.6 million at GWS in his first year. So it'll be interesting. But I think Cats fans, this might be the last season we'll see Steve Motlop in blue and white.
Tell me something I don't know, Duck.
Well, for all the boxing fans out there, I've heard from, well, not heard, I think it's been obviously talked about, but Pacquiao Mayweather will fight again.
Good.
It is on. He's had shoulder surgery, Pacquiao, and the fight round two, Swatter.
He's gone with an international.
Happen.
Tell me something I don't know.
He's global, don't
he? Yeah, he is global.
Just talking to my friends in Vegas, and they just love that one.
Of which there are plenty.
And they're actually let me finish with that. Yeah. Actually, they're actually building a
purpose.
bigger stadium for the fight, an extra 7,000 people to be fitted in.
Always
as well.
Always wondered why they haven't had a purpose-built stadium
that is sponsored
by one of the casinos rather than at one of the casinos.
What did they make?
My friend said in Vegas.
First bout.
What did they
make?
Yeah. That's the other thing. Mayweather made over 200
million,
and Pacquiao 160.
So what do you got for us?
Well, Jay-Z broke the story a few weeks ago of Andrew Carrazzo seriously considering a pathway into the umpiring ranks.
Which turned out to be right.
Yes, spot on the money. I'm led to believe that there is another premiership star from another club down the Princess Highway that is giving serious consideration to following Andrew Carrazzo. And he played last night against the Bombers.
Played well.
Played very well. And he has size fight, 14 feet. He's got big feet.
Got a few over 30 down there. Who's likely to retire, Jay-Z, down at the Cats this year?
Definitely Hamish McIntosh. Definitely Enright. Definitely Jared Rivers. I think Matty Stokes is on the cusp. I think Kelly's on the cusp.
Gentleman James Kelly?
Yep. And
he'd make a good umpire.
Yeah, Stevie Johnson, I think, would be more than likely to go again with Jimmy Bartel.
Out of all of those guys, the temperament for me, if I was to guess, would be Gentleman James.
I think that'd be a good call, Brian.
Yep, very interesting indeed. Hey, we all know the big freeze tomorrow, Queen's birthday at the MCG, raising funds for motor neuron disease. Neil Danaher has led this brilliantly. A couple of little things here. I think at the moment we're at about $1.2 million, which far exceeds what they thought they would raise. Look, just stay tuned here, because while we're at 1.2 or 3 at the moment, I think tomorrow you are going to find that that climbs significantly on the back of some big boys putting the hand in the pocket.
And, hit the 2 million mark. It was 1.3 on Friday night.
Go very, very close to the two. Very close. I would have thought.
What do they think they could achieve from a fundraising?
I think they thought if they got anything around the half a million, they would have done extremely well. And Lewis Martin has pulled this together with all of the networks and radio stations involved. Has done an incredible job. Interesting that on behalf of, or for this motor neuron, where all those that are going down the slide at the MCG tomorrow, the likes of all the names in.
What are you wearing?
We'll get to that. The great photo today in today's paper.
Yes, there was a photo in today's Herald Sun. Now,
just a ripper.
The photo in today's Herald Sun was taken by, strangely enough, a Herald Sun photographer. So that's interesting. And all the boys were brought together, and girls, Sam Lane, were brought together at the MCG for a photo at 1 o'clock on Thursday to have that photo and encourage more participants
donations
in the motor neuron. There was just one person. There were two people that rang in and said they couldn't be there for very good reasons.
Yep.
One person just failed to turn up on this particular day for the photo. Now, I'm not going to mention any names.
Forgot.
He just failed to turn up. You're not going to mention any names at all.
No names, but at least sort of what sort of role?
He's a journalist.
A journo.
Senior.
And he works very, very senior.
Is it the big paper or the most popular red paper?
The most popular paper, the million people a day paper.
Well, it'd be the Age, if that's the case.
Don't think so. But anyway, he just couldn't get there for his own photographer and his own photo and his own paper. But I guess we forgive him for that, because the money's coming in anyway, so it's all good. All very, very good.
To Duck's point.
Yes.
What are you wearing?
I'm wearing a full body hugging armour.
Shervo.
Yes, Shervo style. I think it's got a fair bit of lime green in it.
Colour.
And
lime green.
They're going down the slide tomorrow. So, look, it's not something I'm looking forward to, but anything for the cause of MND and
bike shorts,
to assist MND. Put some shorts underneath.
Something.
Put something underneath. Shut up! The